We're going to return to our Save From What series. It's been a very interesting journey. Save from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But today we're going to talk about another save from. And it's going to be saved from damnation, from the judgment, the apocalypse. And we'll maybe talk a little bit today about the lake of fire that we may, if it be the Lord's will, pick that part up next week. God's judgment has appeared in many forms throughout the Bible. It is absolutely impossible to comprehensively cover such a subject. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You know, an individual is free to choose, and they're also free not to choose. You're free to choose, and you're free not to choose. But if you choose not to choose, you're not free to choose the consequences of not choosing. Those consequences are coming. And especially in America, we have so many opportunities to hear this gospel, to turn to the Lord. Some say, "No, I don't want it." And others say, "Well, I'll just kind of hold on." Well, there are consequences for that. So what is the importance of judgment? Many people in jail will tell you, "I'm innocent. I've been framed." Every once in a while you meet someone that's honorable, if you can find an honorable thief or an honorable criminal, and they say, "Hey, I'm guilty. I did it." But in order to nail it down, there has to be a time where judgment is made. That means that they have to go to court and either be adjudicated not guilty or guilty. Once they go to court and they are adjudicated guilty, the record is stamped and they begin to head towards the penalty phase, whatever that is. And so judgment plays a big role here because you can meet men today that you could talk to them about God and they say, "I'm okay. I'm a good person. I'm all right. I don't know what you mean I need Jesus. I don't know what you mean I'm a sinner. I don't know what you mean I need to be careful. What do you mean? I'm a good person. I don't hurt nobody. I'm a moral person. I tend to my own business." And you know that. A lot of moral people are going to go to hell. You know that, right? Hell is going to be full of upright moral people. Because it's not good or bad. It's a matter of belief or unbelief. That's what puts a man in hell. Well, will a thief go to hell? Well, there are going to be thieves in hell. But that don't mean because a person is a thief that they're going to go to hell. Well, would a murderer go to hell? It's hard to reach murderers. They say this is something that God can't forgive me for. But yes, he can. There's not one sin that he will not, sin of commission that he will not forgive you of, except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And y'all will never have that to worry about. So don't go around wondering if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because you haven't. And you won't. Because you love the Lord. It's just not going to happen. So I just want to kind of ease your mind about that. Some folks still, Christians still go around, "I think if I might have blasphemed the Holy Ghost." Why? Because you question God? How are you going to get answers if you don't ask questions? You got to ask questions. Folks say, "Well, you don't question God." Why not? Why not question God? Sure. Ask questions. Because Zacharias asked questions and he couldn't talk for the next 9 months. But he got a revelation. But Mary asked questions and she conceived the Savior. See? So ask him. That's what I've done. I defied that years ago. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that maybe they were right. But I'm still like, I don't care. If it's that bad, I need to ask him, because you can't tell me. Some of the stuff you're telling me is not helping me. So anyway, I guess I got off on that. Be free to talk to the Lord. Ask him questions so you can get answers. Concerning the last judgment, and I want to tell you about judgment. Sometimes we get it all kind of mixed in and we throw it all in one pot and stir it up together. There's a judgment of the just and there is a judgment of the unjust, and they're different judgments. So I'm going to try to tip my way through this thing and try to make sure that it comes clear. And of course, we need the Holy Ghost to make it clear for us. Jesus said in Matthew 25:31-32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So there's a time where Jesus talks about way down the road where he's going to sit upon his throne of glory, and all of the nations are going to come before him, and he's going to separate them one from the other. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." It's called the Bema seat. This was a seat that they knew of in Corinth. It was a seat of competitors, a sports seat, where when the person won, they would sit on the Bema seat and they would receive their rewards for winning. Well, he used this terminology because the people in Corinth understood what that meant. But then it also speaks of Christ sitting also on a seat of judgment. But this one that we're talking about is one for us, for believers, that we will receive for the things that are done in our body. What does that mean? It means the work that you've done for the kingdom of God in the earth, ministry-wise. And you'll also be judged by the works that you didn't do as well. It won't be a judgment of sin, because if you know Christ Jesus, your sin has already been judged in him, and you're in him. And so it won't be a judgment of sin, and sometimes folks get a little worried about that. Oh, my goodness, we're going to go before the judgment. Oh, wow, I did this, I did that. No, once Christ is there, he took your judgment. The sin matter has been judged already. But we will be judged based upon our works. And those works that are no good works, they'll burn. And those that are good, then we'll receive rewards for them. That's what we look for. That's why I say, take the apple pie. Yeah, if the Lord tells you to do it, go do it. Go and say good morning. I know nobody can't stand that person over there. Everybody is against the person. You go and say good morning. If the Lord say go and say good morning, you go and say good morning. It might make all the difference in the world in that individual's life. It might make all the difference. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed once unto once to die, but after this the judgment." It's appointed once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, you know, God did something very phenomenal here. And so the appointment is definitely set. It's appointed once to man to die. Every man will die. No one can dispute that. It happens. Parents have died. Grandparents have died. Children have died. Brothers have died. Sisters have died. That's an appointment that everyone has. And then after that, the judgment. Now, depending on what happened while they were alive, will determine what that judgment is about. But now, listen again. I say, if you know Jesus Christ, guess what? You've already been judged in him. After that, the judgment. You've already been judged in him. Good news, y'all. That's good news. Amen. And so then there's another scripture that says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, man, when you die, dang, you're in his presence. You're not waiting for him to judge you. It's like a blink of an eye. It's like an inhale and exhale. I mean, any kind of way we can say it. But absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we've been judged. We've already been judged. But we have been judged in him. Now, I know this is a matter of faith. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. I bet you I can get you to think back a week. And if you didn't believe this to be true, you could say, I'm in a lot of trouble. I messed up Tuesday. And, oh, goodness, Thursday got worse. Oh, he's going to get me. But he's not going to get you. He might chastise you, but he's not going to judge you because you belong to him. See, this is the part about this judgment thing, and Christians are guilty of worrying about some of them whether they're still going to go to hell or not. And I'm like, why are you wasting your time with that? Is Jesus your Lord or not? Well, yeah. Do you love him? Oh, with all my heart. Well, what are we talking about? You've been judged in him. I don't get it. Well, you got it. You got to get it because you got it. It's yours. See? 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And then listen, I know that he knows how to deliver us out of temptation. And you know that he knows how to deliver you out of temptation. Bible says he knows how to do that. But he also knows how to preserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. You know, you see these fat cats walking around here. You're struggling and having the worst time that anyone could have in their lives. And you see the person out there cuss worse than four sailors put together in one. They're nasty. They beat their wife. They unjustly take things from people. And you say they look like they're living high on the hog. They're getting away with murder. And I'm struggling. I'm eating, what do you call it, the economy hamburger that you got to fry it and pull the grease off. When you fry it, most of the hamburger gone because it's grease. And you got to fix it and do a gourmet thing with it. And you got to fix it up and put onions and garlic and fix it up and get some taste to it. And that rascal out there eating T-bone steaks and cussing out the and you looking and saying, this just don't seem right. It's like they're just living their lives. It seems unjust. But the Bible says that God knows how to preserve the unjust for punishment. And so don't you worry about that. God will preserve that person is not getting away with nothing. Not getting away with nothing. They might escape the eye of man's law, but they will not escape the eye of the Lord. And these things and people and circumstances are preserved for that particular day. Regarding this apocalypse that we hear so much about, or what they call the Great Tribulation, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Revelation speaks of the opening of seven seals, of voices, thunderings, and earthquakes, lightnings, and hail, fire mingled with blood. What's that? Fire mixed with blood. 1/3 of the part of the trees and the grass was burnt up. 1/3 of the sea became blood. 1/3 of the rivers became bitter, and it killed many men. This was the apocalypse that Revelation spoke of. And a chilling Revelation 9:6 says, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And so much more accounted for in the book of the Revelation concerning the Great Tribulation. Oh, don't worry. I don't think we've got to worry about the Great Tribulation. See, Jesus has delivered us from this Great Tribulation. Now we say, well, you know, I might die and might miss it. You might live. But I'm expecting the rapture to take place before the church goes through this Great Tribulation. And somewhere in Revelation 3, you'll find where the church is no longer mentioned in the book of Revelation. Why is that? Because we're with him in heaven. 7 years. Marriage supper of the Lamb. But there's this time coming, and we've been saved from this. If you're not saved and you're on the earth during this Great Tribulation, this is just how bad it is. It's so bad that you even want to just die. But you won't be able to catch death. Death will elude you. You ever known a person play sports that you play sports with, and they're quick as a cat, and they get the ball and you try to get them, and you just can't seem to catch them. And you ride up on them, and they're over here. And you ride up on over here, and they're over there. And you know you got them, and they forward roll and end up standing behind you. Y'all ever played sports with kind of These persons are so, they're so fast, it just, you can't catch them. They're just quick. And it'll be like that. Men will seek death, and they won't catch them. They can't get them. Now imagine that. Boom! Fall down and wake up with a headache, but still alive. Jump off a cliff. Bang! Get up. Drag to the side or go up, but won't die. Death will flee from them. That's bad when you can't even die. Even though you want to, you can't. We're free from that. We're saved from that. We don't have that problem. Hey, here's another piece of good news. We've already died in Him. This is great. I mean, we're sitting so pretty until it just flat ain't funny. We have died in Him. We are judged in Him. We were raised with Him. We were buried with Him in baptisms. We were raised with Him unto eternal life. We are saved from these things. We are saved from these judgments. Thank God. Turn over to Revelation 20. We're going to go ahead and read a little bit here. Revelation 20. Hope you brought your glasses. Starting in verse 1. Speaking of the millennial kingdom. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. This bottomless pit is called the abyss in Luke 8:31. The demons called it the deep when they asked him to please not cast us out into the deep. It's called the abyss, the bottomless pit. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Anytime you see millennial or 1,000 years, that's us with Christ. Millennial or 1,000 years. We are there with him. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now here in verse 4, it's talking about another space and time when the beast and the false prophet was in control. And that's when that name that they're talking about is 666. And of course, in order to trade or do anything on the open market during that time, you have to take that mark. And you also would be a hunted man or woman if you were known to not have the mark. And I imagine they would have others that might tell on you if you got that. And if they get you, they said they're beheaded for the word of God's sake. And so men will still be saved during the Great Tribulation, but it'll be by their own blood. Today we are saved by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. But during the Great Tribulation, men will be saved by their own blood. They will come in at great, great cost. Cost of their own physical lives. But the good news is that there will be men during the Great Tribulation and women who will not accept the mark of the beast. The Bible says that they were beheaded. That means that's just a way of saying they were killed. I don't know that everyone was beheaded, but they were killed for their belief. Verse 5, and the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. The Bible says that this is the first resurrection. So here is a resurrection. The first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Of such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it speaks of the first resurrection, and it speaks of the second death, which I think we may get into the second death more in depth next week, if the Lord wills. But these, even during the tribulation period and coming up on the tribulation period, is when the Antichrist, is really where Satan was having his way with people, killing people, beheading people, but not taking the mark. And you see, as we started reading this off, that the angel came with a chain and locked Satan up in the bottomless pit and set a seal upon him. And then after he was sealed and chained, then it began to talk about those that died under his particular administration and what was happening after that. That they were raised, the first resurrection. That was it. They will not have to worry about what they call the second death. That second death will have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That means he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners, the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, a number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's how many people he's going to gather together. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and they compassed, they encircled the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire, the Bible says, came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, here's something. The earth is going to run away from this particular sight that he saw, this throne, that the earth and the heaven fled from it. This thing was so terrible. And there was found no place for them. There was no place for the earth or the heaven. We're talking, look, sky. That's going to disappear. Okay, we know about our dimensions here. We know about depth and width and length and all of that, and dimensionally, we understand this, but this right now has just moved into a whole dimension that I simply cannot comprehend. I just don't comprehend a dimension where the earth is gone, and the sky is gone, and there's a white throne there, but it's describing that. This is what it's going to be. And so we'll read through that and just keep going and say, blah, 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 but wait a minute, something else took place there. There's a whole nother existence there, a whole nother location there that you and I know absolutely nothing about. No earth, no sky. What's that? And he said, this is what I saw. That their place was not even found. You couldn't find where the earth used to be. You couldn't find where the sky used to be. What's that? But that's what that white throne, and that's a judgment, but it's a different judgment. Right? White throne judgment is not good judgment. And these are the ones now. This is now. We're saved from this now. Praise God. We're saved from judgment. But this white throne. And you can see how terrible it is that even all of nature runs to get away from it. And you don't find the earth. You don't find its place. You don't find the sky or anything like this. It's a terrible judgment. And this is not just people that are on the earth at the time. This is everyone that's lived throughout all of the time of creation, all of the time. This is even Satan himself was judged during this time. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So it now speaks here, and it intimates of a different levels of judgment. Because if you're judged according to your works, one work is this deep, one work is a lot, one work is less, and we're talking the evil works. And so, but it's still judgment, but it's there. And look, the dead, small and great. So Mr. Customized cigar smoking, nasty, wouldn't give a penny to anybody if they say, would you please help me get a job? and thump his cigar at him. You know what I mean? Stump him and... He's going to be... Yeah. He's going to be here. He's not going to escape this. He might get away with the law, get here, but he's going to show up here. This is when he's going to be judged. And we know that there are those around that are like that. We know folks like that. I know folks on my old job that's like that. Nasty. Just because you've made some accomplishment in life, I'm dirt. I'm the dirty dog. And I'm struggling to feed my children and pay my bills, and you treat me like I'm trash. You show me no mercy. You don't help me. I'm stuck on an assignment. You say, go figure it out yourself. I got mine. You get yours. They're going to be here if they don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They are going to be here. That's why the Bible says, preach the gospel. Share with them. And listen, you know, you almost want them to go to hell. You know what I mean? I mean, really, naturally, you don't want the best for them. That's why you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Because like, I knew a lady, she was so mean and nasty and found out that a woman fell off a roof and broke her ribs. I fought to not celebrate. I had to fight. That was a battle on me. Because a part of me said, whew. It's like the angel said, don't do it. Oh. Yeah, pray. And I did, but it was close. Man, I wanted to kick up my heels and dance a jig, right? But the Lord said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Okay, you know. Because Jesus died for them too. He really did. He died for them. Everyone that they... These that we're talking about, he died for them. They choose not to choose him. They can choose not to choose, but they can't choose the consequences of them not choosing. So everyone, they were judged by the things that were written in the books, and they were judged according to their own personal works. And verse 13 goes on, it says, the sea gave up the dead. Hey, the dead were preserved in the sea. He knows how to preserve the ungodly to the day of judgment of evil men. Remember that scripture? He knows how to preserve them. They were preserved in the sea. They died in the sea, but they stayed there. They were preserved in the sea, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell even. Death and hell. Death was a holding place. Hell or the grave was a holding place. They gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. But that's not only that. Death itself and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Even death and hell is judged. He don't play. Death and hell was judged. They were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so, this book of life, very important. Names must be recorded in the book of life. And it's very important that when a person gets saved, they get saved for real the first time. That means don't you push them, don't you cajole them, don't you manipulate them. You give them the truth and then go pray for them. And ask the Lord to speak to them because they need to hear for God personally. They need to hear him personally. They don't need to hear you telling them what they should do. You can't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. That's what happened with this young lady. My granddaughter, Renee, is now Sister Renee. And so she's not just my granddaughter, but she's now my sister in the Lord. Now, there was a time we went back and we spoke with her and said, let me ask you something. Do you believe that that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And she said, yes. I said, well, let me ask you something else. Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? And she thought for a minute and she said, no. I said, well, we're through here. And rather than saying, well, baby, I want you to understand, he did raise him from the dead. Do you understand that? Yeah. Now, God raised you. And just stuck it in her head. But in other words, I said, we'll back off. We'll just pray and just The Lord needs to deal with her. The Lord needs to show this to her. Not me, but the Lord. And in her own time, she wasn't here at church. She was home in her bedroom when she asked the Lord into her heart at home. And so anyway, more, we'll talk about that more sometime. But what is amazing to me is that in spite of all that God has provided, men are still going to wind up unsaved. Men are still going to hell. Hell was not made for men. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But do you know men are going to go anyway? I don't crash parties. If I'm not invited, I stay home. And some parties I'm invited to, I won't go. But don't, this is so-called a party crasher, but this ain't no party. Acts 13, 40 and 41, Paul quotes Habakkuk 1:5. And it's a sad quote. Verse 40, he says, "Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold," and this is what the prophets say, "behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. But I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." This gospel is declared on a regular basis. Men still won't believe. You can't say, not you, but those that have heard can't get to the judgment seat and say, "I never heard. I'm Frank. I'm innocent." They're going to say, "Well, let's look at the books here. See what the books say. We got your name up already." All right. Okay, I see back here in 1967, a young person walked up to you. Looked like he was wearing a dashiki. And yeah, he had on sandals. And you looked him up and down, and he was telling you about the love of God and Jesus. And how did you respond to that? "Well, Lord, I sent him away because I thought he was a kook." Okay, well, let's turn the page over here again. And okay, 1985, a person came up to you, nice dressed man, was telling you about Jesus. And you turned him away. Why'd you do that? "Well, I just wasn't ready, Lord." Let's go on over here. All right, here in 2000, a man with a suit came up to you, and he handed you some literature and spoke to you about me. And you told him to get out of your face. And you tore the literature up and threw it on the ground. Well, what are you going to say about that? "Well, Lord, I didn't want it." "Well, why not?" "Oh, Lord, please don't let me answer. I just didn't want it." "Well, okay. What do you think your judgment should be?" "It should be hell, Lord." "I'm sorry, what? Hell?" "Yes, Lord. Because when you stand before truth, you will not be able to lie." As much as they would want to say, "No, I need another chance," the only thing that will come out is truth, because they'll be standing before truth. And it will be in their own works, in their own lives, that God will judge them. From the books, y'all, there are records that are kept. And they'll be judged from the books. They'll not be able to say, "That's not me." Because I don't know what kind of books they are, but I believe they'll be convincing enough. I don't know. Hey, we got video now. I can record y'all walking out and say, this is the date, and y'all can't deny it because I got the video. See? And so imagine God's books. They say books, but imagine God saying, "Well, here, let me play that back for you." Or zoop, or heart, or whatever. We're saved from this. For eternity, we're saved. White throne judgment is not in our future, not if you belong to Him. We're saved from that. We're saved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're there forever. Saved from what? Saved from damnation, saved from judgment, saved from the apocalypse, saved from the lake of fire. Thank God for this. We're saved, saints.
Amen.
We are saved, sealed, and delivered. Father, thank you for this word that we're saved from this horrible, horrible time that's coming upon the earth. And whether we're alive at the time or dead in the time, we are not. We're not going to be affected by this. But whether those that are here today die before this time, they will not get past this. So, Lord, please, please empower your gospel. Go forth to reach men, to convince men that you are who you say you are. And use our lives, Lord, as you see fit, to also affect men so that men might come to know you. One soul at a time, in accordance to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.